Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting from Atlanta, Georgia, this is The Bright Side with Technisha.
A daily broadcast on real-life issues that will keep you motivated.
And now, here's your host, Technisha.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today is April the 1st. Yes, it is April Fool's Day, so everybody be careful. I just got my first trick, and I fell for it. But thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Bright Side with Technisha. And today is a glorious day today. It's gorgeous outside, so hopefully we will get some warm temperatures on this week and rain. Anyhow, I am on the air with Dr. Daniel Kamen, who is an animal chiropractor. He is also the author and instructor of three books, The Well-Adjusted Dog, The Well-Adjusted Horse, and The Well-Adjusted Cat. And if you feel like answering any questions or asking any questions, do call in at 347-426-3751. Afternoon, Dr. Kamen. How are you?
Good. And yourself?
I'm doing wonderful. It feels really good today, and I'm hoping for no bad weather this week. I have been waiting for these temperatures to change because the weather has been up and down in Atlanta.
It's 33 degrees right now in Chicago, and I plan on going to Wrigley Field this Friday, and it's going to be in the 30s.
Oh, yeah. I heard the temperature was a mess there, the weather. Oh, Lord. Ugh.
It's cold.
Oh, that's the only thing. But, yeah, we just got past our cold weather.
Yep.
I don't think it's no rain. I didn't check the forecast for the whole week, but I don't think we have any rain this week. But it's been up and down. I'm just, Dr. Kim, basically waiting on the summer to come on.
It won't be long, just a few more weeks.
Yes. So, Dr. Kamen, give us a little bit about your background and how did your
Okay, well, I'm a licensed human chiropractor. I've been around a long time. I've been a licensed human chiropractor since 1981, and that's when I started working on animals of the same year. I wasn't raised with horses, but I started to adjust horses in 1981, and I've been adjusting them ever since.
This is so amazing, though, because when I did the research, you know, no one ever talks about this type of stuff. Yeah, veterinarian, I think it's really cool, but this is awesome to be able to adjust animals. So how did your experiences prepare you for this, whether the training that you had to go through?
Well, again, I was just trained as a human chiropractor, and back in 1981, when I had one of my human patients ask me if I would adjust one of her horses at Arlington Park Racetrack, which is near my office, I said, look, I don't have any experience adjusting animals. I was a trained human chiropractor. She said, well, just try. So I went over to Arlington Park Racetrack. I was way over my head because I wasn't really raised with horses. I did some riding. And I did the best I could. The horses are big. They're imposing. They could be intimidating if you're not careful. And I pushed on the horse's back and the pelvis and the neck, and I forgot about it then. I left. She paid me $50. I thought that was going to be it. And I got a call the next day from another trainer who wanted me to adjust his horse at the racetrack. And I said, look, why me? I don't know anything about horse chiropractic. He said, well, the first one that you did got better. I said, well, it was an act of God because it was nothing that I did. And then I went over there, and, you know, then I had to learn about it. Then I had to seek out who actually knew adjusting techniques for animals. And it took me a lot of phone calls and a lot of research. This is way before the Internet. And I finally found someone who was trained in the 1950s on how to adjust animals. And I learned a lot from him, and that's where my training got started.
Wow, listening to this sound like Dr. Jekyll and Dr. Mr. Hyde. Because it does. It sounds so weird when you say just adjusting animals, but I find it interesting because it's something new that I never heard of. But most states find this is against the law. Why is that?
Well, it's against the law if a chiropractor holds out a shingle and wants to adjust for money. So, like, there are about half the states, if a licensed human chiropractor says to someone, if he or she puts themselves out and says, look, I can adjust your animal, or just come on, you know, just call me, and we'll talk about it, and I'll come down. That's called practicing veterinary medicine without a license. Even though it's not delivering medicine or surgery, the act of adjusting, diagnosing any condition, including a chiropractic condition, is considered practicing veterinary medicine without a license, and that's why it's against the law, and that's why it's very difficult for the average consumer who wants their pet adjusted to find a chiropractor willing to do it, because, no pun intended, they have to stick their neck out and put their license on the line if they're going to adjust their animal.
Yeah. Now, Dr. Kamen, in certain states, you're banned from doing your practice. Why is that?
Right.
Are they not up on date with this, or they just don't want to deal with it at all?
Well, I think it's more of a territorial thing. I teach a seminar, and I've taught about 400 horse adjusting seminars around the country and in England and Canada. And the veterinary laws, the veterinary boards are saying that just by teaching people how to adjust animals, I'm aiding and abetting the practice, the illegal practice of veterinary care. Now, what's funny about this is that any non-licensed person can adjust their own animal. If someone has a dog or a horse that wanted to adjust it, they can do it themselves. But there are very few legal repercussions if a non-licensed chiropractor or if it's just a non-licensed person wants to adjust other people's animals, because there's nothing the states can threaten them with except a small fine.
Okay.
See what I mean? A chiropractor's Achilles heel is their chiropractic license.
And I don't see why people would not be keen to that. But I think people are afraid of something that they don't actually know. And you're benefiting the well-being, because that's what a chiropractor does. You're helping others. A chiropractor promotes the flow of energy within the body. Anywhere there is a obstruction or blockage of energy due to subluxation or dysfunctional group of muscles, what the chiropractor does is normalize that function.
That's exactly right. Chiropractors mostly work with the nervous system. They treat something called the vertebral subluxation, which is a pinched nerve between the spine. And in fact, in Georgia, Marietta, Georgia, is one of the largest chiropractic colleges in the world. It's called Life Chiropractic College.
And then also, Dr. Kamen, it just made me think, we're thinking about just human beings. Animals need love, too. They're just like us. Why they can't be adjusted? They go through the same issues that we go through.
Yes, especially our horses who are athletes. There are greyhounds that are athletes, and horses, and racing horses, you know, they're athletes too. They have a lot of sports injuries.
Oh, I bet they do, especially with the racetrack.
Oh, especially at the racetrack. But really, any kind of agility dog, you know, training, like any dog that shows and competes, any horse really. See, these days people own horses for a reason. They either show them or they race them. So almost all of them are treated as athletes. And then they're going to have musculoskeletal conditions, and that's why they need to be adjusted.
Dr. Kamen, what kind of problems do animal chiropractors mainly treat?
A lot of things. If you're talking about dog problems, first of all, the main problem that dogs have are neck issues. And one of the reasons that dogs have a lot of neck issues is because of the misuse of the choke collar. Dogs wear a collar, and it's usually a choke collar if they're being trained. And if the owner is upset with the way the dog is behaving, they'll yank on the chain in a way that it's going to sprain the dog's neck. So just picture, you know, something like around a person's neck and someone choking you with that. Dogs' necks are much more vulnerable than a person's, and that's why they have a lot of problems. Dogs also have bladder control problems. And there is a great technique that I teach people how to do for dogs, for older dogs especially, that have weak muscles in their abdomen and in their sphincter areas, that they have bladder control problems. What they do is they lift up the tail and they take their thumb and they apply pressure, about a pound of pressure above the bullseye. I'm not going to get graphic. Above the bullseye, just below their tail. And they hold pressure there for about four minutes a day. And that pressure with your thumb causes the dog to tense up their abdominal muscles, which strengthens those muscles, and then they'll have less bladder accidents on the carpet.
Okay. Are there any symptoms or types that can tell you if they have the neck and back pain?
Oh, yeah. Usually just by the way they walk. And there's also something called a static palpation test and a motion palpation test. What a trained animal chiropractor is trained to do is take their fingers and just sort of like push on each segment of the spine to see which one is called fixated. Fixated means that it's stuck. And so there's a test for that. But mainly you just see the dog or the horse walk and your eye catches something which isn't normal, and that's called pain avoidance. So then you go to the areas of pain avoidance, which is normally a muscle spasm.
A lot of people don't be realizing that you never grab a dog around the neck. You can cause so much trauma to that spine, fracture, dislocation, and cancer. And speaking of cancer, what diseases really cause lameness or bone disease in growing dogs?
Well, normally just the natural aging process of arthritis. Now, of course, chiropractors are not going to treat cancer or anything like that. However, I do recommend that anyone who wants to have their dog adjusted, or if a chiropractor is going to adjust the dog, make sure that the veterinarian has looked at the dog first to rule out any medical conditions. So now, again, mostly what chiropractors treat are just muscle and joint problems. They're not diseases, but if a joint or a muscle is fixated or stuck, or the dog cannot move it as well, that's what a chiropractor is going to treat.
Okay. Now, let me ask, is dog limping a sign of dog bone disease?
Well, we're not going to treat that. I mean, a veterinarian is going to treat bone disease, osteoporosis, a thinning of the bones. Now, chiropractors will sometimes use other things besides spinal manipulation. They may use things like a cold laser. A cold laser is not hot, you know, hence the name. And that's used to decrease inflammation in the bones and in the joints. So aside from adjusting, you know, you may see a chiropractor use therapy for that.
Okay. Oh, boy, I tell you, they go through more issues than we do, and we don't be realizing that.
And they can't tell us either.
No, they can't. They can't tell us when they're hurting. All we just have to pay attention to the little signs, their yelps and their moans. That's all they can do.
And Technisha, if I'm allowed to, normally when I'm on a radio show, I like to give away at least one book to one of your listeners, if I can.
I appreciate that, yes.
Okay, now if they want to, and I can't give away all of them, okay, I can just give away two, one horse and one dog. If they visit my website, which is animalchiropractic.com, my email address is on there. The first person who emails me that says that they want a dog book and the first person who emails me that says that they want a horse book, I will send it to them free of charge, no charge for anything. I'll include the shipping and everything else. It's a very good book. They're actual technique books. They show you how to do the adjustments. And for those who don't win the contest, they can just go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble and order the books from there.
Awesome. I hope that my listeners are tuning in, and if you're not, please listen to the archive. This is a great opportunity to get that. Now, I know I'm jumping off the subject, but out of all the three books, which one has sold the most?
By far the horse. By far the horse. And people would think that it would be the dog or the cat. The reason why it's not is because horse owners are very hands-on. They are used to treating their own horse. In fact, most horse owners are the primary caregiver of their animal. They will do injections. They will do suturing. They do, again, most of the primary care. Second place is the dog book. By a long shot, the cat book has sold a lot fewer copies. The dog and the horse book combined have sold about 100,000 copies. The cat book has sold about 10,000 copies.
Okay. And see, I love cats. I do. I will definitely get that one because I do. I love cats, but I don't have a cat here because I have a dog now. So
yeah.
I know the relationship won't work, but I love the heck out of cats. They're just so adorable. So what is...
Well, you know what? I was going to say cats have fewer problems because cats have what is known as the writing reflex. They don't get as injured as easily as dogs do.
Exactly. Dogs got the cat, because cats, to me, they're like a high maintenance woman. They like to be taken care of. They're not going to try to get in too much damage. See, dog can't sit down too much. Now, unfortunately, my dog out here, I think he thinks he's pretty, Dr. Kamen.
What kind of dog do you have?
I have a Siberian Husky mixed with the German Shepherd.
Oh, it's a nice dog.
Yes, I think he does. He thinks he's pretty. He will bark and do what he has to do, but it's like, no, I know I look good, and I'm not doing all that work.
Oh.
hopefully I won't have to worry about any injuries with him just yet.
Yeah.
So what is mainly the main goal of the chiropractic adjustment?
The main goal is to restore normal joint function, and that's why no one should adjust into a joint that has been damaged or injured. So, again, you have to palpate. You have to motion out the joint. And if one side of, let's say, the shoulder or the leg doesn't move as well as the neck as the other side, then there could be a problem with that. But, again, the main thing is to restore normal joint function so the nervous system can function at optimal speed. For example, if you have a misalignment in the middle part of the spine, you have nerves that control your lungs, your heart, your liver, and so forth. If you have a subluxation there, you may want to adjust that, free up that nerve, and then all of the rest of the functions in the body can perform a lot better. All of the spinal nerves control, I should phrase this differently. Spinal nerves control every function of your body. So if you have a spinal nerve that's pinched that controls your heart, your lungs, or a muscle, if that nerve is pinched, you're going to have less function to that organ. So that's the goal of the adjustment, is to remove a subluxation and free up the joints.
Okay. I say that would definitely work with all the back problems that I mostly see people go through.
Oh, yeah.
Also, Dr. Kamen, now in most of these states, what states have issued you cease and desist letters?
Well, we probably don't have enough time to list all the states, but I'll just go over a couple of them. About 20 of them, including Nevada, Oklahoma, Minnesota, Ohio, Louisiana, Arkansas, and the state that you're in, Georgia. In fact, I got a letter from the Veterinary Board in Georgia threatening me with all kinds of stuff if I ever did a seminar there again. And no one has ever complained. I mean, I've had literally thousands and thousands of registrants. I've never gotten a complaint, and no registrant has ever complained. It's the people that have never taken my seminar, usually like a veterinarian who feels threatened that their territory is being trampled on. Those are the ones who file the complaint, and the veterinary boards have to act on their behalf. And that's why those cease and desist orders have been generated.
Exactly, and they could have taken the seminars. They could have done the same thing like everyone else, but I just feel that it's stupid because you don't want to know. You're not willing to learn. You want to be stuck in that shell. It's time to expand. Things are changing now. So bump them, Dr. Kamen. They don't want to learn. That's their business. That's fine. Including Georgia, and I was born and raised here, but we just have illiterate people everywhere and ignorant.
Yeah.
They don't want to know stuff, and it's very sad that our minds have to be that small. I don't know nothing about it. I'm not trying to learn nothing about it. That's fine. And I think it's a wonderful idea. Why not adjust the animal? You would want your back adjusted. I mean, they would want their back adjusted to hurt.
Right. And by the way, and just to be fair, there are veterinarians, there are a small group of veterinarians who do also adjust animals, and there's training. There is training right now. It started in around 1989. There are two groups. One of them is called the American Veterinary Chiropractic Association, and they train already licensed chiropractors and already licensed veterinarians to adjust animals. And another school is called the Parker College of Chiropractic in Dallas, Texas. They also have a very good postgraduate program in animal chiropractic. So there are veterinarians that also adjust animals, but there are some that, like you said, that are stuck in a time warp that are not with it. I just want to cause trouble.
Yeah. See, you're the new, and you're stepping into the old world. They don't want that new stuff.
That's right. That's right.
So now you said these are a few places where they are teaching this. Where can people actually go to find an animal chiropractor? Just Google?
Normally go to those websites. Now, my website does not have it. My website is very close to the website that does have the names. My website is animalchiropractic.com. The website that has the names of the certified animal chiropractors is animalchiropractic.org, O-R-G. And that's the AVCA's. That's the American Veterinary Chiropractic Association. And they list their certified animal chiropractors by state.
Okay. And I'm actually looking at that now, American Veterinary Chiropractic Association. Okay.
Yeah, animalchiropractic.org. And then they'll have a link that says find a practitioner near you or something along those lines. And if you click on that, just pull down your state and you'll find one. There's not many. And in the states that they don't allow animal chiropractic, you can only choose among the veterinarians that are on that list, unless the chiropractor is willing to take a chance and come out to adjust your animal.
Okay. Is it expensive, Dr. Kamen, to get one?
The fee varies by a lot of things. First of all, the average small animal, dog or cat adjustment, is about $50, and that price varies around the country. The average cost to adjust a horse is between $100 and $200. Now, the price could also vary if there's travel time. If a chiropractor or a vet has to travel, an hour and a half to get to your place on location to adjust your horse, the fee is going to go up because of that.
Okay. Well, that don't sound too bad. Okay. Fairly reasonable.
And there's also usually both discounts. So, like if a chiropractor is going to go to a farm, they may have them adjust, five, six horses. And so, therefore, there's only one travel fee. So then instead of each horse being $175, it may just be $125 a horse.
Okay. Oof. Don't want no horse then. Don't want no horse.
They're expensive. it's not a cheap hobby to have. In fact, people always say never buy anything that eats while you're asleep. And that's what a horse does. I mean, a horse is a very expensive animal to upkeep. And in fact, the ones who don't own their own ranches or boarding facility normally pay $500 on up every month to have their horse boarded. And that doesn't even include, and a lot of times, their food. And that does not include medical care either. So usually just to board a horse is $500 or up every month.
Oh, okay. Wow. Definitely do not want a horse. Don't ever ask me, my children, for a horse, because that will be a no. Mm-mm.
And a pony is no cheaper. They have to be boarded and stable just like a regular full-size horse has to.
See, animals, I tell you, when you have animals, it's a totally different situation. They're almost like taking care of children, and that's why I tell people I don't need any more animals. I have two rabbits, fish, and a dog, twin girls. That's enough.
Yeah. Right. It's like taking care of children, only the horses and dogs never grow up. It's always like taking care of a child.
Oh, yes. That's why I told everyone I don't need any more children, Dr. Kamen. So what animals have you adjusted?
Well, aside from the common ones, like we mentioned, dog, cat, horse, and cows, I've adjusted some cows. The most exotic animal that I have ever adjusted, which I'll never do again, was a giraffe. I climbed the ladder. This is when I first got started, about 1981. In Cape Girardeau, Missouri, there's a place that was like, if you want to call it an animal broker, the guy sold to zoos. He would go on safaris, bring back the animals from foreign countries, and then bring them back here, collect them in his animal resort, and then he would sell them to zoos. And so there was nothing wrong with the giraffe. I just wanted to see if it could be done. And I'm telling you right now, it cannot be done. I climbed up a 13-foot ladder to get a hold of the giraffe's neck, and it pushed me off the ladder three separate times until I got injured. I wouldn't do it again, and then I left. I'm not going to do it again. It was a stupid thing for me to do. It's not going to happen again. I adjusted a lion, by the way. The lion was sedated, and he was having he was being groomed. He was like having something. He was having some ticks or something taken off, plus his nails shortened. And while the lion was asleep, or semi asleep, I went behind him and I grabbed his neck and I did a little adjustment on the lion's neck. It's a very intimidating, very scary feeling. Even though you know the lion is asleep, I was a little scared doing it, thinking that he was going to wake up at any second.
Oh, man. That is a mess.
I'm not a brave man.
Because I can really imagine you trying to get up there on the ladder and do that, and it did knock you off the ladder, didn't it?
The giraffe swung his neck and knocked me off the ladder. I lost my balance three times. In fact, the owner of the barn told me to put down some hay right next to the pen there because he told me what was going to happen. And sure enough, see, I had no experience with giraffes. Giraffes are not used to having anybody up there with them. And so when they see me, they just freaked out. You know, the giraffe just freaked out. And there's no way that I can get a hold of them. By the way, I also freaked out. I also freaked out, too. I think I was more scared than the giraffe was.
Giraffe, like, what's going on? You in my territory now.
That's right. Anything above 6 feet is his territory.
I always thought about a giraffe. I said, that looks so uncomfortable to just stand there. And they actually have to sleep with that.
Yeah, and by the way, they're not docile animals. They're dangerous. They can kick. A giraffe's kick is deadly. If you're in front of them, that's their only defense is kicking. And so, you know, you can't you can't really domesticate them. If you were in a zoo and you went into a giraffe's area there, they would try to kick you. And again, it's deadly, and there's nothing you can do about it. And they're fast. They can go faster than a horse.
Oh, wow. Well, I guess, yeah, they all do have that built just almost like a horse. They just got that long neck. I feel
and
really
long hard. Legs. And long, strong legs. Their legs are skinny, but they're very strong. Another animal that I tried to adjust, but they're very dangerous, is an ostrich. And in my area, there was a car dealer who kept on getting vandalized, and the dog that he had there was not protecting his car lot. So instead of a dog, and this guy made the news, he got an ostrich because now if someone wanted to vandalize the cars or, like, steal a car, they could not feed the ostrich meat or food. And like a dog, you can bribe a dog, and, you know, you can give them something to eat. Ostriches are stupid, and they're very imposing. And his rate of vandalism went way down when he had the ostrich protecting his car dealership. But ostriches are dangerous. They have a very sharp toenail, and if you're in front of an ostrich, they can kick you, and they're... An ostrich kick is deadly. They have a very sharp nail, so never stand or never try to capture an ostrich.
Oh, I will not. Thank you for your... I have seen them on television where they actually will attack you in the safaris. And
that's
you
right.
Know, you just sit there, and it just comes right up like, why are you in my territory?
They're fearless, too.
Yeah, because I think it happened to Oprah Winfrey. It attacked the vehicle. They look so cute and innocent until they start moving. You're like, oh, no, you're not innocent or cute anymore.
You want to be on the other side of the fence. Don't tangle with an ostrich.
So is that the most difficult animal you had to adjust?
Well, I got near it. I didn't really accomplish anything. Because it kept on moving. You see, if you wanted to adjust an ostrich, you have to sneak up from behind because they can't kick backwards. They can only kick forward. So the veterinarian showed me you sort of like have to hug its neck from behind and capture it that way. But I never did pull off the adjustment because it kept on squirming away. The hardest, well, it's not the hardest, but the worst injury I ever sustained was from a cat. I was adjusting this lady's cat, and I wasn't paying attention, and the cat scratched me, and I wore that scratch for about 2 months on my arm.
Oh. Now, I said, they are so adorable cats, but they will scratch.
Well, and I once got knocked out. Twice I got knocked out while I was adjusting a horse. It wasn't from a kick. He headbutted me. A horse's head is very heavy. And I had my arms around his neck, and he swung around his head, and he hit me in the head. And this was during my seminar, and in front of like 30 people, and I was knocked out cold on the ground. And the next thing I knew, I woke up, and I see a lot of people around me, and I thought I was out for a couple of days. It turned out that I was only unconscious for about 15 seconds.
Golly.
Yeah. And then I got up and I finished the seminar.
You know, I was listening to one of your interviews before, and it was about the woman called you about her cat.
Yeah.
And I think it was in reference to the reason why you don't put your number in books anymore.
Right, because, you see, even though very few people bought my cat book, the ones who did buy it called me. In fact, my publisher made a mistake. He put my home phone number in the back of the book instead of my office number, which goes to voicemail if I don't answer. And once in a great while, and not so much anymore, but when the cat book first came out, I used to get calls in the middle of the night. They don't know that I'm in Chicago. I may have gotten a call from California, which is 2 hours difference. And all of a sudden, I would answer the phone and hear like the screaming at the end of the line, like that. And it's a very surreal thing to hear. And then I would hear the voice of the owner. Is this Dr. Kamen? Yeah. Well, I'm on page 62 of your book, and I'm not sure if I'm doing this right. And I hear another scream. I go, well, I didn't memorize the page numbers from my book. I don't know what you're doing. But whatever it is, yeah. But you know, you have to cut it out. I mean, I'm not there with you. I can't see what you're doing. So I got a lot of calls, and once in a while, my wife would answer and get the same calls, and they would ask her questions about the cat. And she's not a chiropractor. So I stopped getting those calls. Actually, I got one about a year ago, but I used to get maybe dozens of those calls when the cat book first came out. I think the cat book came out in 1997.
Okay. I like that.
It's been a while.
You said, I don't know what you're doing to the cat.
I don't know what you're doing. I can't see you. I mean, you know, and again, she thought I memorized the page numbers. There's like 300 pages in the book. I don't know what's on page 6.
Okay.
Yeah, she sounded like she was killing her cat over the phone. And by the way, you know what I should have done? I should have changed the cat book. Instead of calling it The Well-Adjusted Cat, I should have called it How to Adjust Your Cat and 7 Other Martial Arts.
Cat was pleading for help. Help me, somebody.
Yeah.
She said, no, cats
are tough.
I mean, she probably was trying to do like you said, adjust it. But you got to be careful, though. If you're not licensed, you definitely have to be careful. You can't go do the same thing. So that's what it sounds like she was trying to do, trying to adjust it, and she didn't know how.
So
that was his life.
Yeah, she was probably covered with bandages the next day.
That's
my guess.
I'm just thinking about that poor thing. Dr. Kamen, what sort of trouble can a licensed human chiropractor get into for working on animals? If you're not licensed, the trouble you could get into, but what if you are licensed?
Well, if you're licensed and it's against the law to adjust animals, you lose your license. You can get your license revoked. You can also get a very stiff fine as well. So now, you know, I tell chiropractors, if you want to adjust animals and you want to do it the right way, first of all, make sure that your veterinary laws allow it. Sometimes if you get a veterinary referral, then it's okay as long as the veterinarian of that, you know, as long as the pet's veterinarian is aware that you're treating an animal, you're adjusting an animal. But the bottom line is that a licensed chiropractor, if they're violating the law and adjusting animals, they can have their license revoked, suspended, or get a large fine. and that would hinder their livelihood, and then, you know, then they won't be able to make a living if their main living is adjusting people.
Okay. Oh, wow. I tell you, you have to be careful these days.
What's in a great wild jail?
Yeah. Oh, Dr. Kamen, can you describe the bladder control move for dogs?
Yeah, the bladder control move for dogs is when you lift up the dog's tail, and then you put your thumb above that bullseye. Again, I'm not going to get too graphic on your show, but I think everyone knows what I mean when I say bullseye. If you apply pressure above the bullseye, just below the dog's tail, about 1 pound, a little bit more pressure, maybe like a pound and a half of pressure, and if you hold it there for about 3 to 4 minutes every day for about a week and a half, that will help tighten up the dog's the sphincter and abdominal muscles. It's like Kegeling exercises. You know, when a woman is pregnant and they want to do exercises to strengthen their abdominal muscles, they do something called Kegeling exercises. This is the equivalent of Kegeling exercises for dogs, and that re-educates weak muscles, and therefore they'll have less accidents on the floor.
Okay.
And the problem has to be weak muscles. If the dog is suffering from either if they're suffering from cancer or infections, this move was not going to work. The problem has to be weak muscles. And a dog will often have weak muscles if they've had spay and neuter surgeries, which cut the nerve. And if you cut a nerve, that leads to muscle atrophy, which is weak muscles. And so to strengthen their muscles, you have to force the dog to exercise those muscles. And that's the place where you put your thumb, every day or every other day to help the dog exercise those muscles. It works. Now, with a bladder control move, you have to do it at least every other day after the first week, forever. Because if you stop doing that exercise or that treatment, the muscles become weak again, and then you'll have the same problem.
Oh, okay. Wow. Boy, I tell you, like I said before, you learn something new every day.
Yeah, and there's also a move for dogs to prevent canine hip dysplasia. Now, you cannot cure. You cannot cure canine hip dysplasia, and you cannot treat canine hip dysplasia with chiropractic. But there's a technique which I have demonstrated on my website that uses an instrument called the activator. There's another tool similar to it called the chiropractic adjusting tool, which is a very low force, very safe tool to use, where it's like a clicker. It looks almost like a stainless steel clicking device, which you click over the animal spine. So if you go to animalchiropractic.com and click on the videos, you'll see the move for how to prevent canine hip dysplasia.
Okay. Is there a bladder control for all animals?
For domestic animals, for cats and for dogs, for horses, it's impossible. I mean, this one does not work on horses or larger animals. Just mostly those two domestic, mostly cats and dogs.
Now, we know mostly everyone has their own guidelines for doing what they do in the medical field. So what guidelines do you follow for treating animals?
We mean guidelines. Diagnostic or what?
I guess certain rules that most of you probably follow or certain things that you normally do in your line of work.
Well, normally the first thing you do if you have a dog or a horse or a cat patient, you do what is known as a case history, and you do a complete medical checkup. Then you'll ask the pet owner about the animal's past medical history, what medications they're on, and then you would actually call their vet and ask them, are there any contraindications? Is there any reason I should not be adjusting this animal? And normally the main contraindication would be a fracture. And if a horse cannot stand on four legs, if they're three-legged lame, it's called, then you should not adjust the horse. That means there's something wrong with the legs, and because they have to be able to support their body after the adjustment. So you go over a case history, and then you do a chiropractic exam, which consists of palpating or feeling the spine for tight muscle spasms, and then doing a motion check by taking both hands and motioning out the joints to see if there's any areas that are stuck, and then doing the adjustments afterwards.
Okay. I do understand. Okay. Now, do you, or what type of nutritional supplements do you use on the animals?
Well, normally the veterinarians recommend for like joints. See, I just mostly deal with joints, either chondroitin sulfate or glucosamine or very similar supplements. Now, I don't get into things like weight control or any disease-oriented, you know, foods that people may want to use, other than joints, like I said, glucosamine and chondroitin sulfate. But I normally don't recommend those. I normally just leave that to the veterinarian because there's a lot of supplements that can conflict with an animal's medication. So a chiropractor should not be prescribing nutritional supplements because, again, for that reason, they have to know which medications they're taking. So that's why a veterinarian should do that.
Okay. I got you. So let them stick to their job. I know that's right.
Right. Yeah, you don't want to get into trouble doing that.
Oh, yes. It's too much. Boy.
Too risky. Yeah, it's just too risky for everybody involved.
It is. Now, with all these three books that you do have out, oh, and by the way, Dr. Cammie has other books out. I found that you do have a book on bullying.
I do. This has nothing to do with animal chiropractic. You see, in my later years, I'm not terribly old. I'm 57 years old right now, although I feel a lot older some days. But I do a lot of writing, and one of my books, is, again, has nothing to do with it, although the main subject in the book is a chiropractor, and I do mention animal chiropractic in there. It's called Stagecoach Road, The Bullies Must Die. Stagecoach Road is a real road. It's a very creepy, real road in near Gary, Indiana, where I grew up. It's in actually Portage, Indiana. It's called Stagecoach Road, and it's about a high school teen in 1973 who was bullied, and he was beaten up on Stagecoach Road. And 19 years later, when he's a successful chiropractor, again, it's not about me. It just has a lot of similarities. He decides to take revenge, hunt down his attackers that attacked him 19 years earlier, and he wants to hunt each one of them down and breach and bring each one of them back to Stagecoach Road so he can torture and kill them his way. It's not a feel-good book. There's very little humor in there, but it will get your attention. And it's a very suspenseful drama-like book, and I think you'll like it. It's again called Stagecoach Road: The Bullies Must Die. It's available on Amazon and Barnes and Noble.
Yeah, I've seen that on there. I definitely would love that. That sounds like a horror movie that I love watching, and it usually always end up like that: someone killed somebody, and they come back from the dead, and they take their revenge out, and they always get them back at the place that. Everyone, where it started at, or they'll get the kid. I love those type of moves. Yes, that would be my type of move, Dr. Cammie.
And the feature, I'll send you one. Send me your mailing address. I'll send you one for free. The feature about the book is that he waits 19 years until he takes revenge, and the bullies have no idea. He finds out where they live. He finds out where they work, and he uses two drugs. He uses two drugs to accomplish his mission. And one of the drugs is called Sucostrin. And Sucostrin is a drug that I learned years ago from veterinarians. It's a drug that is used to capture wild animals. It's not a muscle. It's not a tranquilizer. It's a muscle-blocking agent used in darts by wildlife and game wardens to capture and relocate wild animals. If you shoot someone with Sucostrin, it will paralyze them, but their mind is completely awake, and they can experience extreme pain and anxiety, and that's why the main character in the book chose that, to capture his bullies, disable them, paralyze them, and then transport them to Stagecoach Road so he can have his way with them.
Oh, yes.
It's a very sinister drug. And he also uses one other drug to fool a polygraph test when he's asked by the police. And the drug which people use to fool a polygraph test is called Versed. V-E-R-S-E-D. The drug Versed will calm down your vitals, like your parasympathetic nervous system. It'll calm down your heart rate, your breathing, your respiratory rate, and you won't sweat. And those are the three vitals that are checked when someone's taking a polygraph. So if you know that you take a polygraph, if you get a hold of some Versed, you can fool a polygraph exam.
Oh, Ooh. Okay.
And that's what the character uses. I'm not going to tell you how the book ends. It has a very wild surprise ending. And it's published by a Canadian publisher called CCB, like Cat Cat Barney, CCB Publishing in British Columbia.
Okay. I guess that's supposedly what they're actually using in the movies. It's supposed to be an implication of Versed, because that's usually what they'll give the people to numb their bodies, put them to sleep where they don't feel nothing. Ooh, imagine all the crime that would be made if somebody had that in their hands. Thank God they don't.
Well, now, also, polygraph examiners know about Versed, and law enforcement also knows about that. So that's why some of them in some states will do a drug test, because you could detect it in the body. They will do a test to see if you have Versed in your system, or else they will put you, if you were arrested for something, they'll keep you in a holding cell for 72 hours. So if you did take Versed, it's completely out of your system.
Okay. Because if I'm correct, I think it could cause, it causes a difficulty of breathing, too, if it's not used the correct way or overdose.
It can cause death. It can get worse. You know, so, yes, if you're not a doctor and you don't know how to take it yourself, yes, you can cause death. It can definitely stop your breathing.
I would love that book. I sure would. I love stuff like that. I'm always watching movies, people taking revenge out. And it's really, even though I haven't seen it happen in reality, but it's true today. You have to be careful, bullies. You can't go around just bullying everybody and thinking you're
going to be a horrible crime. Yeah, you know, I tell you something. If I were a principal in a school, I would have zero tolerance for bullies. The first time that they bullied anybody, I would have them expelled and fined $100,000. I would. I would have zero tolerance. You know, bullying, what does, it robs someone of their dignity. And it could have a lifelong effect. And if there's any advice that I can give to young people that are listening to your show, if you get the instantaneous courage to fight back one time, if you fight back, the bullying is over in your life for the rest of your life, and that goes for any place. Bullies do not like people who are brave. Bullies pick on people they perceive that are weaker than they are. And bullies, all bullies, without exception, everyone who's a bully is a coward. They are afraid of anyone who shows any sort of courage whatsoever. So if you retaliate, if you fight back just one time, your life will be freed up for the rest of your life. Just fight back. Just get the courage to fight back one time.
But, Dr. Kevin, do you really think, in reality, do you think they'll really back off if you fight them that one time? Because they might come back harder for revenge.
Oh, well, then you have to make it a good one. I'm not advocating violence. But I get a lot of emails from people who've read my book, especially kids. I don't advocate violence. But I do advocate defending yourself. If they're threatening you with bodily harm, you have the right to defend yourself, not start a fight, and not provoke anybody. The worst case that I ever heard, and you know, again, I'm not glad he did this, but it solved his bullying problem. I had this one high school guy email me. He said, I have the secret to stopping bullies. And what this guy did, I don't condone what this guy did, but he said that he was being bullied by one of his classmates for the last couple of years. And he said he finally had enough. He waited on top of a staircase in his high school. The bully approached him as he was coming up the stairs. With all of his might, he pushed the bully down the stairs. Bully was in a coma for about a month. Broke almost every bone in his body, his legs. He says, no one messed with him after that. Again, I don't advocate what this guy did, but everyone feared him afterwards because he did it in front of a lot of people. So don't go out starting anything. I don't advocate violence or condone violence in any way, but someone does have the right to protect themselves.
Yeah,
and if someone's beating up on you, do whatever you can to disarm that person.
Exactly. And that's what I always learn. Well, I teach my girls, the first thing you should do, go tell an authority. And that should be the first thing. Never let them know that you are getting bullied. But at the same time, if they're, I'm just sorry, if they're backing you up in the corner, you got to do what you got to do. I'm
exactly.
sorry. One or the other. It's either them, and there are some good pointers. Get them in the eyes, no matter what. Stick
right.
them right in the eyes. Push them eyes in as far as you can. Let's see. Kick them in the knees. It's all sorts of ways that you can get them. But I do agree with you. This bullying has to stop because there was one young lady, what was her name? Amanda Todd. She committed
That's
suicide.
Right.
She
right.
told about online, and it's really getting sad that our children have to end up killing themselves because of this. And it's even coming through our computers now. This cyberbullying.
Well, cyberbullying is even cyberbullying. I think is worse, and it's hard to stop. And I'll tell
yes.
you why. Cyberbullying is the reason why it's worse because people don't have to suffer any physical consequences. People hide behind their computers to say whatever they want. And
yeah.
that makes them even a super bully because no one's going to come after them. They hide behind a screen name. And those are the biggest cowards. The cyber bullies are the biggest cowards in the world.
They are, and they get away with it because, oh, the First Amendment, freedom of speech, all boo. And one way that freedom
right.
of speech is going a little too far. It is. We're protecting it like glass. Okay, so you got
right.
rights to do whatever you want to do to me online because of this freedom of speech. How far are we going to let this freedom of speech last? How far should it
That's
go?
Right.
Because it's ridiculous. But I think...
Yeah, and you know what? And again, the worst fear a bully has is if anyone finds out who they are, they will scatter like a cockroach. I mean, they are the world's biggest cowards. So, and by the way, there are no exceptions. Anyone who's ever bullied anybody is a coward, all of them. I have zero respect for bullies, and I was bullied to a very small extent. I mean, you know, nothing like what my book has, probably just like everybody else, but it's got so bad these days. And what I think that kids should do, like you said, aside from telling the authorities, take karate lessons. Carry something with you to defend yourself. Don't be afraid to defend yourself. As soon as you do, most of the time the bullying stops.
Yes. Make sure you take some good karate classes. Only thing about the karate class that I came out, I was thinking of, if someone has a gun, will I have time
yeah.
enough to kick up? Will I have time to kick up my leg? Because I don't want to kick my leg up and then you shoot me. I mean,
well,
that's not
you know,
I'm just thinking about it like, okay, you're doing all these moves, and now people are just carrying weapons now, like. No one actually wants to fight anymore. They just shoot you, and that's it.
Well, if someone has a gun to your head, I mean, then it's their choice then. I mean, you know, that's a horrible situation. The idea is not to get into those situations. But if you have a chance to defend yourself and a reasonable chance, do it by all means and with any means you have.
Well, I got on my 8-year-old daughter not too long ago about bullying another young lady up at the school. I know she quite didn't understand, but I told her, by you engaging and keep picking on her about her hair, that is a form of bullying, and I would not tolerate
Absolutely. It. Absolutely. Absolutely
yeah,
it is.
Be bully, because I was bullied. So I'd be darned if I have you doing the same thing. No, it's not going to happen in here. I'm not going to condone that. Then when somebody
yeah.
picks on you, then you don't like it. So we have to understand
bullies.
That young. Yeah.
Well, bullies only like confrontations if they're the ones who initiate them. They don't like confrontations if they're the ones being confronted. That scares them because they're cowards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right about that. But you have to be ready to fight because I thought standing up to my bully in middle school was going to help. I stood up
right.
to her because she told me to move off the bench somewhere. She was like, move off the bench. This is where all the cheerleaders are at. And I was
yeah.
like, I'm not anywhere. I stood up to her, Dr. Cam. I was like, I'm not moving anywhere. And that did not
glad
help.
Glad you did.
But it did help, Dr. Cam. She was ready to fight. I was scared, too, because my mother, I didn't learn how to fight. My mother did not teach me that. She said she didn't want me to grow up to be like her. She wanted me to go to school and get my education. But at that time, I was like, I wish she would have taught me because she was ready to really fight. And I was like, darn it, I thought I was getting you off me by telling you I wasn't going to move. You read the fight.
Yeah.
What's the next? And she was like, hit me. And I was like, hit me. We were back and forth saying the same thing. And Luckily, the bell had rung, and I made it out to go get my felt father.
All right, so after that day, what happened? Did she still pick on you, or what? Or what happened the following day or the following week?
Well, she still was a bully, but she didn't fight me. Her verbal abuse was enough for me.
Yeah, that was
enough. And what made it so bad, I had two of them. Both of them was the exact same. It's just she would bully me more than the other one. But I had two of them, and I could not stand going to school every single day. And I would tell my mom, I'm not going to school. So my mother had to step into it. She was like, no. My mother was like, look, you're not going to put your hand on my daughter. It's going to be you, me, and your mother. Because my mother was the fighting kind. She grew up like that in her time. She fought. But see, she didn't want me to do it. And I felt a little bit. I had my mother on my side, so it made me feel better. But I ended up seeing her years later. I saw her last year or two years ago. I saw her, and I called her name out, and she said, how do you know me? And I told her different. I was like, you know what? I'm not even going to tell you who I am. I just left it alone. I just want to see what that her, and it was. She looked so manly, like, oh, my God, I did. I thought she was a guy. Not being funny, but I did. I thought she was a guy. And I looked at her. I was like, oh, my God, this is the one who bullied me. Now look at her. You're thinking that she's a bodybuilder. Looks so scary.
Yeah.
And I walked off and left it in her head. I didn't even want her to know who I was.
So you didn't talk to her, so, like, you don't know what she does for a living or you don't know if she's educated or what she does with her life now, right?
No, but the other one who did, I have her on Facebook. And it's amazing, though, when you get older, how you let bygones be bygones, because I'm like, these people, and some of the people who are on my Facebook were terrifying to me in high school and middle school. And now I have you on my Facebook, like, okay. But I guess I'm not the kind of hold grudges, because I figure you were young. You didn't know any better. You're grown now. Now you have your own children to make a right change in their life. Like, don't make them grow up how you were. Don't make them do the same thing. Please don't. And I hope they're listening. Don't make them be just like you, because that wasn't cool bullying the person. But I didn't grow up to be psychotic or take revenge or nothing. I grew up to be a very happy person, and I'm glad that I'm grown now, because you can't do that right now.
And it takes too much. Exactly, and it takes too much energy to hold a grudge.
It does, and that makes high. But you know, sometimes I think they're that way. As my guest and I had discussed before, they're that way because sometimes home raising, you get that abuse or you don't get the love, so you figure I could go bully somebody else to get attention. So.
Exactly.
I just hope it. I hope this bullying does stop. It's becoming outrageous. It's really getting ridiculous.
Well, anyway, so speaking of revenge, that's pretty much what the book is about. But it's entertaining, and again, I should add that it's 98% fiction. Maybe a little bit. I'll say it's 89% fiction. All right, 75%. All right, 75%. 75% fiction. The scenes in Gary, Indiana are all real. Stagecoach Road is real, and I'm not sure how vast your listening audience is, but if you ever get a chance to visit Portage, Indiana, stop by Stagecoach Road. It's a windy, creepy, it looks like it came out of the 1800s. It's a very cool place to go. And go there at night, it's even scarier.
Well, I do appreciate this good advice. You know, it was something new for us all to learn today about adjusting animals. And do not try it at home. As Dr. Kamen would tell you, do not try this at home. Get somebody professional to do this for your animals. But, Dr. Kamen, I thank you so much for being on the show today.
I thank you for having me. I'm very grateful to be on your show.
Oh, by the way, can you give us one more time your website where people can go and get in contact with you?
Certainly. My website is animalchiropractic.com, animalchiropractic.com. And if you send me an email or call me up, I answer usually within the first 15 minutes or so. I'm very prompt about answering emails.
Well, thank you.
Thanks again. I really, really appreciate it.
You're so welcome. I just want to say you and your family, your sons, your wife, all of you, have a blessed one.
Same to you. And please call anytime. Send me an email. And send me your address again. I'll send you the Stagecoach Roadbook.
I sure will. I'll do that immediately after the show.
All right. Thanks again.
You're so welcome. Now, okay. Coming up tomorrow, we will have Mark Davis. He will be talking about the Obamacare and the reason why it is doing the things that it's doing and why it's failing. So I hope that you do tune in tomorrow at 12 o'clock p.m. And thank you again for all the love and the support that you have given me on my Facebook fan page. And I appreciate the ones who tell me when I run into them at the store, I listen to your show. But now if you are listening to my show, just hit me up on Facebook and say, hey, Technisha, I'm listening. Sounds good. Hey, you know how to do it. We're all in social media. But I will see you tomorrow at 12 o'clock. And God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to The Bright Side with Tanisha.
Come back daily from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern.
God bless.